Hello and welcome to the 13th Hour Podcast. This is your host, Joshua Blum. This is episode number 368. As we talk right here, I actually happen to be sculpting with clay a figure that I initially had started in the car. By that I mean this is a little 3¾-inch Rocketeer figure. I talked about it last week. And when I was on a recent trip with my family, when I wasn't driving, I pulled it out and did some sculpting. Now, if you've ever tried to do anything in a moving car, it's sometimes can be a bit challenging because the car is moving and so you are essentially not stable. So what I ended up doing is I have a prototype that I made that I'm currently painting. I'll include a few pictures of kind of where I'm at with that. But I'm making a second copy of the figure, of its parts. So the torso and the limbs and the head and the rocket pack I kind of already have. But I'm making a second copy, essentially, to be able to, if I want to, make a resin duplicate of it. And so that's something I was not able to do with this one that I made in the car because the clay is already on that. It's all on. It's pretty tight, but I think if I heated it up or did something to get the limbs out, I would probably destroy the sculpting that I've done. This clay is pretty strong. Eve's Epoxy Sculpt is a two-part epoxy clay that I use. I've used it for years, but it is not unbreakable. I mean, it's pretty tough. I mean, but if you were to take a piece and flex it, it would break. It's not impervious to that. And then heat, I think it would probably soften with heat. I don't know for sure, but I don't really feel like finding out. It's quite easy to do this sculpt again, and even easier when I'm not in a moving car. So I'm actually surprised how quickly it's going because, I have all my tools here. And I have one thing I didn't have in the car that is I forgot to bring that is incredibly helpful if you ever do any sculpting, at least with this particular clay, is a little bit of Vaseline or something to smooth the clay over. So when you put the clay on, and I think if you do pottery or things like that, water will kind of serve the same kind of purpose, but you put something on to allow you to smooth over the surface that you just sculpted. And it makes it a lot easier. Now, it does create a little bit more mess, so there's that, but it makes it so that the surface itself is less bumpy. And so if you look closely on the one that I did, because I didn't have that, you can see some fingerprints and things like that because I had to use my finger or the tool that I had. I have some sculpting tools to basically serve the same purpose, but it doesn't quite work as well. And there's certain things that, like, for example, if you're going to do clothing, which I'm doing right now. I'm making the Rocketeer wears these kind of riding pants called jodhpurs that have big bulges on the side. I'm not exactly sure the function of that. I think they're for being able to reach into your pockets when you're riding, if you have pockets, or so you don't kind of get all bunched up in the crotchal area, I guess. You know, it leaves some extra kind of room to move around on a horse. If you've ever done any martial arts that involve a lot of kicking, you may notice that there is an extra piece of cloth underneath in the groin area to allow the legs to move. In fact, I don't know if you can still buy them, but back in the day, you used to be able to buy these Chuck Norris pants. They were actually advertised by Chuck Norris in the pages of like Black Belt magazine and other martial arts type publications of the day. And they had the same exact design. They were jeans, but they had this extra sort of like diamond of cloth sewn into the crotch area so you could move more freely. So I'm guessing that's what jodhpurs allow you to do. I don't know. But anyway, a lot of World War I era, Golden Age era flying people use them. I think mostly for stylistic reasons. But anyway, the Rocketeer wears them. That was the original design that Dave Stevens gave him. And so it was sort of continued a little bit in the movies, the 1991 movie, where Cliff kind of wears something like that. They're not quite as like ballooning out as sometimes the pictures make them out to be. And if you look back at some like sort of World War I or aviators from the like the 20s and 30s, you'll see the riding pants, like, and sometimes they look really dramatic. I don't, like I said, I don't know the purpose exactly of that. But anyway, I'm sculpting that little sort of thigh bulge on there, and trying to get it to where it, the way it looked when I did it in the car. But it's not very hard to do. But what I was going to say is, if you're doing cloth and if you're doing folds in clothing, it can be quite handy when you are making the little lines and things like that to have something to smooth over that sort of crevice that you just made. And Vaseline really helps a lot. That's a little thing if you ever do any sculpting. It also improves like definition of things. It's much easier to do that and make it look natural and even, or sort of like smooth, I guess I'm trying to say, if you have something that helps you to smooth over the material. That's one thing to consider if you ever do any sculpting. Putting some extra folds in his pants here. Okay, I think that's pretty good. Let that dry. What we're going to be doing today is I'm going to be reading a little bit more from the book that we started a few weeks ago, Dragonfall, by Lee Hindle. And we left off in chapter 2 in the middle of a rock concert where the main character passed out. And so we're going to pick up there.
Okay, this is in the middle of chapter 2. Agonizing blotches of light. On, off, on, off, on, off. Gabe was in a blazing whirlpool. His head was being consumed by white fire. The fire had tasted his brain, found it good, and begun to dine. He heard music. Blue Oyster Cult. He sniffed. Perfume. Lemon. He opened his eyes halfway. Streetlights flashed by. He focused. Kate's face filled the picture. Hiya, she spoke lightly. Gabe was laid out in the back seat of Jimmy's car. His head was in Kate's lap and his feet were in Samuel's. Jimmy and Lee were in the front seat arguing. Gabe couldn't hear what it was about over the music. Sandra was between them, her head thrown back, her wavy brown hair dangling over the seat. Gabe watched the streetlights flash by overhead. This is unreal. Dreamlike. Except in dreams, you don't hurt like this. Kate's window was partially open. Gabe watched a thin strand of her hair blow across her mouth. Gabe sucked in the cold air and moistened his numb lips. Oh, my head, he croaked. Is it hurt? She asked. My head. Does it hurt, Gabe? My head. You said that. Does it hurt much? Gabe tried to sit up, cauterizing pain, nearly blacked out. Yes, it hurts much. We thought you were dead. I am. Mourners, please omit flowers. Lee and Sandra twisted around. They were drinking Budweiser, and both of them were slightly blitzed. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Lee asked. How's the head feel? Crunchy granola, Gabe answered. Uh-huh. Gabe attempted to sit up again. The fire surged through the tunnels of his brain. He stopped and rested his head between Kate's breasts. Lee raised his eyebrows. Kate smiled. Sandra giggled. Gabe gave a weak, uh-huh, and dropped back into her lap. Everybody? Kate? Everybody. We already met, Jimmy spoke into the rear view mirror. You're half an hour late with the intros, Gabe.
Half an hour? So that's how long I've been out?
About that, Lee said. Want to swallow? He held the can out to Gabe. Gabe took it. It wasn't very cool.
Don't spill any, huh? Jimmy said seriously, turning his head toward the back seat. The Mustang veered over to the other side of the street, heading for an oncoming camper.
Hey, front and center, amigo, Lee said, reaching around Sandra to jab Jimmy's shoulder. Jimmy got back to his side.
Pulls a little, huh? Lee said.
A little, Jimmy said.
Gabe tilted his head up and looked at Kate. Wait a minute. What are you doing here? Did your good buddies leave without you?
Well, they were sort of every man for yourself buddies. If you get back to the car in time, you get a ride home. I couldn't very well just leave you lying there in a pile, could I?
Very admirable, dear. What exactly happened anyway? We're listening to Pumpkin, then Kafluey.
We're not sure.
Yo, guys, what happened? Gabe asked the front seat, giving the beer back to Lee.
Some total brainstem tossed some kind of bomb onto your side of the floor, Lee said. Pretty sorry scene. Gave new meaning to the word pandemonium.
Yeah, everybody was just going rank, Jimmy said, turning around. Piggies were really stomping heads. Pumpkin got the hell out of there, except Tick, that crazy freak. He threw his strings into the crowd and just stood there, screaming at them to come up. They nearly killed the sucker. Anyway, Kate found you there first. completely out of it. Then I found her, then everybody found us, and we hauled ass. Yours, Lee said, ripping open another beer. Gabe nodded painfully. The music from the front banged around inside his skull. Hey, Jim, can you turn that thing down a notch? Yeah. BOC died. I'm assuming that means Blue Oyster Cult. Clenching his teeth, Gabe pushed himself up and sat between Kate and Quiet Samuel. The fire in his head narrowed into searing flames behind his eyes. He felt around at the back of his skull. It was extremely tender, but there was no blood, just some grit. Blood? Kate asked. Blood. Oh, man. Did you get it on the seat? Jimmy asked, turning all the way around. He looked as he was verging on tears. No. Hush now, Chili. Your motor's all safe. Mama's taking care of everything now, Gabe said. Hey, Bub, this is my ivory chariot, Gabe said, looking gravely at Gabe. It is, without blemish, scratch, dent, or zit inside and out. I don't really know what this is supposed to say. I guess. The brilliant glare of a transport truck's headlight froze their faces, and the blurring noise of the horn took their brains in a fit of noise. Gabe, Kate, Sandra, and Lee all screamed in harmony. Jimmy was beyond screaming. Samuel just opened his eyes a little wider than usual. In one convulsive jerk, Jimmy wrenched the steering wheel to the right, tacking the Mustang back to the correct lane, missing the truck by shuddering inches. This is why you don't drink and drive, kids. Gabe lost his balance and his head collided with Kate's window. It wasn't the thing to do. The pain was beyond imagination. He gripped his skull between his hands as a shriek oozed its way out between his teeth. There was a fierce compression in his brain. A drastic increase of pressure. It felt like that rosy bowl of soaking jello up there was caught between the blistering teeth of a nutcracker that was squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. I can't take this anymore. And it stopped. Tears formed at the corner of his eyes. It had felt to Gabe as if something up there actually shifted and broke. Suddenly he felt very sick and a little frightened. The whole automobile seemed to give one big fluttering sigh. Ooh, kids. Oh, kids. Lee exhaled, sliding down his seat. Oh, God, that was so close, Sandra murmured. Blinking rapidly, Gabe pushed back his hair and looked at Kate. She mirrored his expression, wide eyes, rapid blinking. Gabe gave a quick giggle through the pulsating pain. My, yes, that was close. Would you say that was close, Gabe? Lee asked, fidgeting. Yes, I would say that was close, Gabe muttered, holding his head. Just what I thought, close. Would you say that was close, Sammy? Close. Real close. Very close. Very, very close. Okay, he said. All those who thought that was close, say I. Slowing the car down to a stroll, Jimmy detached his right hand from the steering wheel and held in the air. All right, sorry, people. Apologies all around, okay? Okay, everybody? Sandra got up on her knees and cuffed his head. You twitty person, she screamed hoarsely. I am not impressed. That's telling him, Sandy. Give him the works, Gabe said. Hey, Jim, buddy, I hear that some really excellent career opportunities over in Lebanon are happening right about now. Would you want to sign me up? Lee asked, and he wasn't laughing. I said, I'm sorry. I've got a good idea, Gabe said, massaging the side of his head. Why don't we just paste a sticker on his butt? Warning, the Surgeon General has determined that Jimmy Kemp's is extremely dangerous to your... I said, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, man, Lee said, popping open another brew. A long, thick silence followed. Jimmy turned on the radio, Asia. Assuming that means the band. Lee smoked and drank. Sandra fell asleep. Samuel said nothing, and Gabe felt sick. Fun evening, Kate said. Yeah, well, here's where the action is, Gabe said. That's for sure. So, do we know each other? Gabe asked. I think so. We were talking when Pumpkin came on, and I thought you were saying that you make dragons. Stupid, yes, I know, but I do. What? Hey, what do you want to do, Gabe? Jimmy asked, turning his head around halfway. We're kind of heading for a clinic, or... No, forget that. Just drop me off at home base. I'll survive. Jimmy turned a corner sharply. Gabe's head started to spin to the left in reverse direction. He couldn't tell what area of the city they were in. Buildings, cars, and signs, all out of focus. Surreal. Kate looked into his face. You sure you're okay? Gabe smiled. Just Jake. A couple of aspirin and a shower, and I'm laughing. Lee threw back his head, killing the rest of the beer, and chucked the can out of the car window. Gabe watched it bounce away into the night. Suddenly, a sickly warmth spread over him and filled the car. Quickly realizing he was about to be violently ill, he pushed himself up to the front. Jim, I think you better pull over, man. I'm talking right now. Jimmy turned the radio down a bit. Huh? I think you better... Whoa, Gabriel, Lee said. You're not exactly the picture postcard of health, son. You want another bud? Yeah, it's coming off sounding like some Monday Night Football commercial. Gabe inhaled the smell of beer mixed with cigarette off of Lee's breath, regretfully. No, I don't. I just think Jim better pull. Gabe, are you okay? Gabe, Kate asked, touching his shoulder. Gabe gritted his teeth. No, I'm not. Jim, I think you really ought to. Hey, Lee, get him another can, Jim said. He said he didn't want one. And watch the road, will you? Lee said. Remember the road? Long black thing with... Don't start it, man, Jimmy warned. He turned another kitty corner. You don't want another beer? Jimmy asked. Gabe gripped Jimmy's shoulder. He was losing it. No, just pull up. Of course he doesn't want another beer, Sanders said, waking up. Probably make him barf. Well, sweetums, how are we supposed to know? Jimmy asked. He steered mercilessly around another corner. Gabe was reaching for the blonde-haired boy's throat. Jim! Hey, ain't there supposed to be something in beer that helps the stomach when it's sick? Lee asked, frowning. Jim, I'm gonna... No, that's wine. Wine helps the stomach. It's in the Bible somewhere, Jimmy said. Jim! Samuel sat up and tapped Jimmy on the shoulder. What? Gabe's gonna woof his groceries all over your precious ivory chariot. Judging from his face, about 1 second, he said offhandedly and sat back. Jimmy twisted around and looked at Gabe, screaming like a maniac and driving just like one. Jimmy jerked the Mustang over to the shoulder of the road. Gabe sailed over Kate and was out of the car before it came to a fishtailing stop. He let it go in a ditch. Shaking, he walked back up to the puttering car. Raising his face to the sky, he swallowed a deep, purifying drink of night air and climbed in. Home, James. Home, Gabe said. Well, that's pleasant. That is the end of the chapter 2. He just upchucked on the side of the road, presumably from his head injury. Or, I don't know, maybe something else going on. So, I think something's going on with Gabe. Maybe something connected to these dragons. We'll find out next time on the... next time on The Bruise is Right, according to this book. Thanks, as always, for listening. You can find more shows like this wherever you find podcasts, or if you just Google The 13th Hour Podcast, and I will talk to you guys next time. Hey, a few last things. If you enjoyed this episode, you can find many more like it on the show's website, 13thhr.wordpress.com, as well as on numerous other podcasting platforms like iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. There's often additional material on various places on social media as well, like on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can find links to all these platforms in the show notes for this episode. Sometimes people will ask me, how can they help contribute to the show or other things that I do? And you can, of course, leave a tip over at ko-fi.com, which is ko-fi.com/13thhr, which is basically like a virtual tip jar. You can see a link to that in the show notes. But there's a lot of stuff that you can do that's just for free, and stuff that you may be already doing anyway. And so if you have ideas or suggestions, you know, email me. My email address is writejoshuablum@gmail.com. Also, don't forget, subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you currently prefer and share it with your friends, leave a review, listen to music on Bandcamp, Spotify. You know, I hope by conveying some of the creative process on this show, you'll also be inspired to do creative things and follow your own dreams and do whatever it is that brings meaning to your own life. The world really is what you make of it, and at the end of the day, that's what the 13th Hour is about. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye.